What's good, everybody? This episode of the podcast is sponsored by DistroKid. They are the go-to for digital music distribution and the easiest way for musicians to get your music onto Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, TikTok, YouTube, and all the places you need your music to be. They offer unlimited uploads, and artists keep 100% of their earnings in-store 10 to 20 times faster than any other distributor. Fastest payouts. They help out with automatic splits, cover song clearance, and all kinds of other amazing tools and templates to help you get the most visibility for your releases. I dig this company and really appreciate their business model that offers more features than any other distributor at the most affordable price possible for solo musicians, bands, studio artists, DJs, and any other creators that are producing music in their home, and they also offer label services as well. They've got three different tiers to offer creators that start as low as $22.99 a year. That's just $1.92 per month, and even their top tier breaks down to only $7.50 per month. And the best part about DistroKid sponsoring the podcast is that they are offering Dan Cable Presents listeners 30% off your first year of membership, making their already affordable services even cheaper for you. Check out the link in the episode notes. I also put it in my Instagram bio in the link tree. Click that link and it'll give you 30% off your first year of service. Super stoked to have DistroKid sponsoring the podcast and can't thank them enough for their longtime support of this thing. Let's start the episode. What is happening, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Dan Cable Presents podcast. Thank you for tuning into the program once again. If this is your first time listening, thanks for checking out the show. You can find fresh episodes coming at you every Tuesday. And if you want to help support this thing in a free way, you can do so by clicking subscribe on iTunes, clicking write a review, giving the podcast 5 stars if you feel like it is deserving of so. And that will help propel this thing into the tops of those iTunes charts, giving it more visibility on the national and international levels, helping strangers find the podcast. And just a great way to contribute to the growth and sustainability. It's free to do so. Appreciate the hell out of all the folks that have already taken the time to do so. And if you're not listening on Apple, just hit like, follow, subscribe, wherever you are listening from. Give it 5 stars if you're listening on Spotify. Tell a friend about the podcast. You can check out the monthly playlist that I've been dropping on Apple and Spotify every first of the month. Pretty spread out genre-wise, just like the podcast coverage, and the links for those are in the episode notes. Hope everybody is doing well out there. So stoked to get to share episode 372 with you all. This week, we've got a conversation with Gulf Coast rap duo They Hate Change, who I just got to see for the very first time this past weekend at the Pickathon Music Festival. Another incredible Pickathon up here just outside of Portland, Oregon. I continue to not really have the right words to explain the magic of that place and that festival, and everything was just so dialed in this year as far as the organization, and once again, the curation was just so good, and I saw so much amazing music and walked away with a lot of new artists that I will continue to follow, one of them being They Hate Change. So I'm super grateful to have had the opportunity to sit down with them and sneak a podcast in amongst the festival. I saw both of their sets, one on Friday night in the Galaxy Barn, which is a smaller indoor venue that has a very like DIY punk feel to it, a great place to see heavy music late into the night. And I also got to see They Hate Change on Sunday in the afternoon at the Wood Stage, which is one of the coolest places that you can ever see live music. It is just this stage that is immersed in the woods, and it was just a beautiful afternoon. And not only did Vaughn and Dre, who make up They Hate Change, put on some of my favorite performances of the festival, but they were also just such fun dudes to be around, and I feel like we easily could have talked for a couple hours about their music. But I appreciate them making some time for me, and they were so great on the mics about talking about their process and dynamics. So I'm excited to keep up with them. My mom lives in the Tampa Bay area, so I'm stoked to connect with them the next time I head to Florida and finally try to get some understanding of what that music scene is like down there. And Pickathon, thank you for just another unforgettable weekend of music and overall experience. I feel like I just got back from summer camp and I'm exhausted, but I'm hyped. I just can't say enough good things about my time out there per usual. And I got to chat with so many killer artists. Aside from recording this podcast with They Hey Change, I recorded 17 short form on camera interviews on Thursday and Friday for the Pickathon YouTube channel that will roll out throughout the year. So stay tuned for those. And you can check out some past interviews up there on the Pickathon YouTube channel, as well as a ton of live performances from the Pickathon Music Festival throughout the years. And I also got to host a Lucky Barn session with the Canadian folk duo OC Elliott. Those Lucky Barn sessions are very rad, almost like a storyteller's or a live podcast where the artist is asked questions in front of a live audience for an hour, along with some live performance of songs. So it was busy, but I had most of Saturday and Sunday to just see music. And I can't encourage people enough to check out the Pickathon Music Festival. I plan my summer around it now, and I will continue to do so. It was my fifth year of going to Pickathon, and just another experience where I just wanted it to go on for at least a couple more days, if not, you know, just get to spend a week like that with a bunch of amazing artists and, you know, patrons of music. It was just, yeah, very next level once again. So links for Pickathon will be in the episode notes. And with all that, we are going to get into episode 372 with They Hate Change from the Gulf Coast of Florida. Links for them also in the episode notes. And we're going to kick off the episode with a track from their most recent record, which is called Finally New. It's on one of my favorite labels, Jag Jaguar, and you can find it wherever you stream music, or you can pick up a vinyl copy. I just ordered mine on that Coke bottle clear, so I'm pumped for that to arrive in the mail soon. And this track is from that record. It's called exactly Breathing. Let's do the damn thing.
Some new shit. Let me breathe for a minute. Can I get open? Wannabes, they tried to fight it. Had to show them how to put this shit in motion. First off, we way too focused. Taking out the bump, my pivot, strictly rhythm in my mode. Can you dig it? I breathe for a minute, then step back. Look at all that shit we done. I think we deserve a plaque. Noise platinum teeth golden. Put your venue on the map. Fed your crew to scratch. Bottles pop, pictures snap. Chats like they reeling back. Breathe for a minute, can I get open? Magazine said it ain't worth it. Had to show them how to put this shit in motion. First off, we way too focused. Taking out the bump, my pivot. Introducing the start of your engine. Tell me who better fit it. Pole position in there. Ice rock greedy. Do the drunken mug when I'm in there. The sole purpose is beat breaking and take snapping. Infrastructure for hollow mountain villa living. Well, the beats, they can't get on me. Cause I point and squeeze. Moving from my focus. That's on me. Precious metal on my team. Pyro metal pedal gleam. My machine is in it. Study fitted. Roger Lennon grooving in there. My tune bang around the world.
Talk to me, you know, just to provide some context for some things going on. I'm super excited to chat with y'all. I'm really excited. I got to see you guys perform last night before talking with you, because I feel like that, you know, that presented like a lot of different questions for me and just like gave me a better understanding of what you guys
do live and not just having to base everything off of the records I've heard, which I've been enjoying as well. But just talk to me about how They Hate Change formed.
So we were already friends for a couple years by the time we like formed as a group. Just hanging out in like the neighborhood that we lived in, you know, geeking out about music. Like, we're just huge music fans, and geeking out about other things, you know, clothes, shoes, things like stuff that like teenagers are into, I feel like. But on a level that me and Dre were like very nerdy about it. Like, we just like, yeah, exactly. Like, nah, we don't just know like shoe release dates. Like, we know the design team. Yeah. We know the, you know what I mean?
Hair and bone pattern attraction and all this other stuff.
We, we know the reference piece, you know, things like that. Like, at, you know, 15 or whatever, just like being super deep into everything in that way. And I was already making music. I was rapping already, but I wanted to start making beats because I couldn't get beats like from anybody. So it was like, I have to make beats. Like, it's just like, I have to make original music and I have to like, So I just, like, I got to make beats. And, Dre was over, and was just showing him like what I had going on or whatever, kind of covertly. Yeah. I was acting like it was somebody else.
It had a tag. It was like, zim, zim, zim. I'm like, who is this? Why do they keep sending you beats? It's like, yo, I don't know, but, you know, hey, I got like three or four of them. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
And the final was like, it's me. I'm like, oh, okay.
Exactly. You wanted to make sure that you were feeling it before.
I was like, dang, the heat check. Which is funny.
It's funny because you can be like so tight with somebody and just like be friends with them, but it can still just be like such a vulnerable thing to show them the shit that you're working on, especially if y'all have like some mutual interests in music, and you're like, well, this is what I'm making.
I guess that's a bit, that's kind of too like the, I guess like the plus in being like a duo, where it's like we can either like rely on each other for that like reconfirmation, like, is this good? Like, you just gotta do this. It's like, okay, cool.
You know,
but kind of get out your head and kind of just focus on creativity, if you will.
And that's sort of where it started from, really. It was like, you know, Dre like had like input like about the stuff, and I was like, yo, like, we should just do this. Like, we should do it. You know what I mean? Because at that point, it did become, you know, I think it's been our dynamic since then, which is like, I'm very like, I don't know, I'm very heady about a lot of shit, but Dre knows exactly like, because like we're friends, Dre knows exactly what I'm actually thinking. You know what I'm saying? Even if I wasn't able to really like put it out there with my hands, Dre's like, okay, no, here, like, here it goes. Like, tame this a little bit. Okay, if you strip this back, if we do this, that, and the other, now it's like a thing. Now it's like, now we can make it into a song, like a good song. You know, like, I could just have like this crazy like idea, like, yo, Dre, like, and like connect all the dots and shit like that. You know what I mean? But then Dre's like, nah, okay, word, but here's like, here's how we disconnect some of the dots to make this shit make a little more sense. You know, so that's really like, that's where things stem from.
Were you making much music at all, Dre? Did you have any?
That's the thing. No, not making music at all. Just listening and just like kind of just love music in general. And I'm originally from Rochester, New York.
Okay.
So again, it was kind of like cool or kind of weird, like coming down south, and especially in the town where we were at, in like Clearwater. And like meeting somebody, I was like, oh, you know all of this stuff too, but do you care as much as I do? Like, we're talking about like the sizzles and cracking on like certain records.
On like East Coast rap records and shit that like at the time, that was not like, that definitely wasn't a thing that people around me were listening to, unless you wanted to be a rapper. That was it.
Right. You know? And so did I think I would be making music? No. I was just like, hey, I'm working with my friend, or just helping or listening.
Yeah.
Because again, it's like, I enjoyed, you know, the music that Von was making previously. So just to be a part of it now, I'm like, oh yeah, this is tight. And so even now, more so even writing stuff, or even, you know, making beats or production wise, I feel like we're always trying to like, yo, check this out. All right, check this out. So it's like, it's definitely cool. Because again, you know, we are actually like friends.
Most definitely. So, yeah. And I think that They Hate Change maybe is like a, it's like a case study in like the idea that just any like good music listener can be a good musician.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that's really our whole, maybe that's like the whole reason we're, you know, doing this thing, to like show that.
Yeah.
You know,
I think there's something to like spending a lot of time listening to before maybe even like getting into making music, where you're like, oh, well, I've absorbed so much.
Exactly.
Now, maybe I feel like I do have something to say, or some angle on it, or, you know.
It's definitely weird.
Exactly.
Writing all this stuff. I'm like, oh, wow. this ain't too bad.
Yeah, because that's what it is. You're jumping in like a lineage, you know? It's all right, here's all this stuff before me, but like, okay, what little piece can I put on that, you know?
Right.
How can I add a little something to that, you know?
So how far in was it where both of you were really, like, contributing ideas to this thing and you were, like, ready to make records?
Really from that moment, but we were just, like, at that point, we just started just knocking out stuff. We were knocking out stuff at first for me as, like, a solo rapper, but we were making tracks together for that. And then it just, I think we heard, maybe 2 years in, we heard of this group called the Jet Age of Tomorrow.
Okay.
They are this crazy duo originally from Atlanta, Georgia, but then they were based in Los Angeles for a while and down with like Odd Future, like back in the G. But they put out an album, two albums. One was called Voyager, and one was called Journey to the Fifth Echelon. And they were like instrumental hip hop, but like left. You know what I mean?
Dancy.
We had never heard anything like this shit before. Ever.
Just
you
wild.
Know what I mean? Like even like being, you know, versed in the stuff that we were. We weren't like genre heads at that point or anything like that. Like we knew a lot about hip hop and we knew a few other things that were kind of interesting or whatever. Where like, you know, when I found out Dre was really into Madonna, I was like, oh, that's sick. I gotta know what that's about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like this stuff we hadn't heard anything like, and we were like, yo, these dudes are producers, like, and they just put out a record with no rapping. Like these are tracks, like,
for sure.
But like there's no rapping. Like we hadn't been introduced to anything like that. We were like, yo, we should do that. Like aside from the thing that I'm doing, like let's make a project where it's like that.
Yeah.
You know?
It feels like listening to the music that you can tell that it's like a pretty wide range of music that y'all have been like absorbing and
for
like
sure.
makes its way in to the music, you know. It feels like very eclectic. And speaking to, you know, some of those tracks you're talking about where it's just like, you know, no rapping on it.
I
love those parts of your records and that you like make that a part of the record, you know. Those are like some of my favorite tracks, and I also think that they're just like pretty cool, like palate cleansers when you're listening to the record front to back, or like it kind of can give it that mixtape vibe in some ways, or like you know, modern era, like you're listening to a playlist or something where you know, you get these instrumental breaks and then you're back into the stuff with vocal.
Right, because we're also really aware of like, you know, the way we rap, like we don't really do hooks. So it's like we're really just like back and forth in like a ton, and it'll be like 80 bars of like, you know what I'm saying? Like whatever. It's like, okay, you do that for like 10 songs in a row, it's kind of tired, you know? Like you have to have some sort of like relief from that. You have to have some shit where it's like, all right, let me give you something else. Let me give you a little bit of something else.
You got to be able to like to let it breathe a bit. Because again, too, it's like with that as well, we're our consumers and we are music fans as well, too.
Exactly.
So if you're thinking back to, you know, some of our like favorite records or even stuff we hear released now, it's like, again, you want to be like, okay, I love this, but I'm like, okay, I'm gonna skip this one this time. I let it play. It's like you want it to be like this collective thing, and so that's what we were trying to do. I mean, that's what we try to do just in general, is think about like, okay, we're making something. It's like, can this live on its own without vocals?
Yeah.
And then we touch the spot that we feel needs vocals, and then just, hey, just leave this part here, let it breathe.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We'll come back. Or if not, hey, let's put a voice memo over here, or just drop in this conversation we was having with somebody, and it works. It just kind of helps be more immersive, you know, as the listener as well, and for us as well.
Was it a conscious decision to not have a bunch of hooks in the music like you're talking about?
No, I definitely don't think we're sitting here going like, all right, no hook.
Yeah.
But I think we listened to a lot of stuff and are inspired by a lot of stuff that there was no real hooks. Like I would say, Currency is a huge influence on us, and he is a like no hook kind of guy. Not that he doesn't do hooks ever, but the era that we're really inspired by from him is like very much like very little hooks, a lot of like in and out or just like straight barring for a whole track. I think guys like Doom, MF Doom, where it's like maybe there's a hook, but he only says it once.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or something that feels like a hook and he only says it once and then it's just like, you know, he's just running. So we're inspired by shit like that. So I think we just jump in that pocket very easily.
Yeah.
But I think now, like, the structure of our songs, like, of our newer songs, definitely, I think we're kind of developing a new sort of structure where it's like the... I mean, the song, we played a song last night called Stunt When I See You, and we put that out maybe like 3-4 weeks ago, something like that. And I really love the structure of that song because it's like, it's very like, I hop in for like 8 bars, you hop in for like another 12, then I hop back for like 20 or something, then we go into a hook, you know what I'm saying?
It's tasteful.
Like, yeah, exactly.
It's tasteful because, again, you're listening and you kind of want that, like, okay, I feel the energy, and then it's like, woo, bring it back down, and then you push it back up.
Exactly. We don't want the shit to be like, you know, we hop in with, here's the part you're supposed to remember.
Verse. Yes.
Hey, remember that part? Verse. Hey, we're going to do it one more time.
Yes.
You know, like, figuring out new ways to weave through a track, but it's still like a thing that people can sort of sing along to. We know if we just go straight like 200 bars on a damn track, it's like it could be a good track and people are going to be interested in it, you know, especially if we're like performing with the energy that we have. But we do also know that the tracks that we have that have more, you know, hooky sort of things, even if it's just for one part, that's the ones that people latch onto. They're like, oh yeah, like,
you see
this is my joint right here.
Because you're like, we all want to feel a part of the favorite song
exactly.
or the song. Yeah. And so, yeah, we take note of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, I definitely think like bridges and stuff like that too.
Yes, exactly.
Where we're kind of like, okay, well, let's hone in on this part here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we'll be showing each other like tracks and stuff, whether it's from, you know, hip hop, or other across other genres, and be like, well, why can't we do that?
Yes.
Like, let's try saying just this word over here in the verse, not the hook, but in the verse, and then put it in something else. Again, it's like the hook or the bridge is at the end, not the front, not in the middle, it's at the end. It's like, we'll give you your favorite part, but
exactly.
You're going to have to wait for it. It's not going to be where you expect it to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is nice. I think that's how you like carve out your own sound, too.
Yeah. Definitely. Gold on my teeth, I'm a stunt when I see you. Stunt when I want to. Stunt when I need to. Pull the ill fade, nah, stunt. Yo, I might put some diamonds on my wrist. South London bunnies always jumping for my hit list. Freeze, you a misfit. Freeze in an instant, because I don't need no rep talking about I'm on that pimp shit. Please, got a maid bitch at home. She rock my shell and cologne. I rock number 5, you smell it in all my clothes. It's that Gulf Coast soul. Post-punk crunk music, boy, better know. Like my name, Frisco, whoa. Ain't no other way to play the game the way I play. I sell it to you straight before I ever tell a fake. Walk in a room, school face, make them fake. Ain't hard to tell that my name, ho, wait, that's chain. Golden flow, your hoes are no. Yeah, there's penny lovers, teeth rosy gold. Yeah, I once threw some niggas down the curb with smoke. Couldn't hear over the crowd at the London show. Playing niggas in Paris to Paris. Renee's on all of my stakes. We running through TSA. We make it run away, great things.
Talk to me about the live show. Like, how long do you feel like it took to maybe create what I kind of witnessed as like this undeniable energy and this force last night? Like, we were standing side stage when you all like took the stage, and just from the moment you walked through the door, I was like, this is going to be fucking wild. This is going to be crazy. Like, love that you guys are committed to like the matching outfits and shit like that. I feel like that makes it more of that like immersive experience and lets you know that you came to it's a performance. What's it been like developing that?
I think the pieces have been there maybe the whole time, but it was just about refinement. Like, I think from our very first show, we probably had that energy, but that probably just came from like the fact that we had been making music for a minute and we were like gearing up to play a show. Like, we wanted to play a show.
Right.
So we got on, it was immediately just like out the gate. Oh, we got to go off. Right. Then very shortly after that, matching outfits came in, you know what I mean? And we were just like, oh, that would be cool, because we saw a documentary called Fresh Dressed and it was about hip hop fashion.
Yeah.
So it would go back to the earlier like 70s and stuff like that, 70s and 80s like hip hop stuff, where it's like, oh, like Flash and them like on stage, they're like
it's like
decked out.
Yeah, exactly. They have like costumes on, yeah. You know. So we like, oh, we could do some shit like that, mm-hmm. You know. But then maybe that dialed back from the energy that we had, you know. So we had to figure out, okay, how do we bring both? Then we started having like, you know, right around that time we started playing with synths and stuff live on stage,
yeah,
and
it was like, okay, brought the studio.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. How do we do that? And bring the energy, and okay, we got the outfits too,
right?
Know? And you know, for time, it's just like refining the way the music works. And I think what we found was that okay, if we arrange our tracks in a particular way,
mm-hmm.
the energy that we bring can float right along.
Absolutely,
that, you know? And we don't have to think about it too much.
Yeah, it felt like this very like seamless thing.
Yeah,
last
yeah.
night when I saw it, you know, you can
dig
feel
it.
That you're not like. Trying to create this thing that has no breaks, really. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah, because it's like we sort of curate, like, our set list, you know, as if we're DJing.
Yes.
And outside of what we want to hear, it's more so, again, figuring out where we're going to be at
yeah.
and curating it for that, if you will. So, yeah, we definitely take all things into consideration, but showmanship, for sure, is at the forefront.
Definitely.
Because, again, regardless if it is only 7, 8 people, 12 people, or the room is full how it was at, Barnyard, it's like... We want to like give off that same type of energy that we would do back at home in the backyard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's just fun. It really is. And I mean, it's helpful when it's two people.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, is like, do you feel like you guys are kind of constantly lifting each other up?
Absolutely.
Like maybe one of you is like not really having a great day that day and kind of help uh-huh. each other get to the level you need to be when you're on stage.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Like, we have like our like certain like little funny cues we might do to
yes,
each other.
Yes,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like if like this eye is facing the crowd, I might like do like a half wink or like a, you know, to this.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because again, it's like, again, being friends, we kind of know or hear vocally what we're both doing, and it's just like, okay, I'm about to ad-lib this part for you, breathe real quick, okay, good. You know, if Vaughn might literally go out in the crowd, and how I have to keep pace, let me go back and forth and give everybody some on the side of the crowd. Vaughn's up front,
yeah.
Okay, let's switch, I'll stick more so over here on the side.
Yeah,
again, it's like you want to
be even
and make sure everybody is still experiencing getting that same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. if I'm jumping like in the middle of the crowd, it's like, okay, there's that, but what about everybody on these other sides, you know what I'm saying, that can't even really see what I'm doing
yeah,
right now.
Exactly.
So Dre's like, nah, I'm going to stay up here and I'm going to rock this sort of way. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Because we know what that's like, being on the side of the stage like, damn, I can't.
No one's coming over here.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No one's acknowledging that I'm over here.
Yes.
Exactly.
We're pointing outside. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, no. I love to get to see the energy of what you guys do. Like, it was
appreciate
just
that.
I think I just had like a big smile on my face the whole time, especially when you're like dancing together up there, and it feels like there's like
there.
You know, the choreographed shit, or you know, whether it's like super thought out or it's just like these little things, it just definitely like adds to the live show for sure.
I appreciate it. We definitely it's definitely not specifically choreographed, but it just like certain things happen.
Mm-hmm.
At a show, and we just do so many shows at this point, for sure. It's just like, oh, yo, let's do that again.
Yeah.
I like you did that last night. Let's do that again.
For sure.
You know? And then it just becomes a part of the thing. And then people start to talk to us like, yo, when y'all do this part, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, and we're like, okay, we got to keep doing that for sure. You know?
Is it wild that you guys kind of like cut your teeth doing these backyard kind of house shows at times and parties, and now you're touring around the world and playing music festivals and
very wild,
taking real stages?
We figured it was like, I don't know, it would be easy to translate because it's so hard to play those type of shows. You know what I mean? Like to play house shows and play backyards and garages and stuff. Like, we did all that, but even still, at the same time, you know, in our town, we were still playing the real venues also. It was just like we were playing everything. There were people
literally
in the scene
everything.
That didn't want to play the house shows and stuff like that. They're like, oh, y'all are kind of the only ones that could really do that. And we're like, nah, y'all could do it.
You could come.
But y'all just, I don't know if y'all are scared or what, but like we, you know, we would play with at, you know, in the hip hop scene or whatever that we first entered into, and we'd play at like a real venue, and that was like a real sound system, a real DJ, and like, hey, do you have a USB with the tracks on it? You know, and then we would go to like, yeah, exactly. Then we would go to like the backyard in like the indie rock whatever scene or whatever, and play, you know, a noise set or something like that out there, you know.
Yeah.
And we were just like, okay, cool. By the time this reaches a point where we're playing like a huge festival stage, it's like, okay, we've played where there's like half of a PA and no cables for us to hook up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
you just gotta make it work.
Exactly.
Yeah, because also, it's like, and again, with us being the producers as well, too, we know how our stuff is supposed to sound. And we also, you know, offer that courtesy. It's just like, okay, we see this, we're not about to trip. It's like, okay, we hear it. Okay, this is probably as good as we're gonna get.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Because, yeah, exactly. We were never like uppity about this shit. It was just like, all right, cool. Like, that's what we got. There's still 100 people back here.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. the setup was made for like a band, and there's 100 people in his backyard. There's half a PA that we can kind of plug into. Let's just make it happen. So by the time you get to a stage like this, like, oh, yeah, great. Yeah.
Quarter inches,
plug
please.
Us in. Yeah.
Either bitch about it or ride the wave.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to be able to adapt. I think that's definitely, you know, being on that circuit. Definitely kind of taught us to just be adaptable.
Exactly. And that's hip hop as well, you know, not to make it too much about like the DIY scene, so called, you know, but it's like, you know, again, 70s hip hop is like they would go to the park and have to figure out a way to make electricity for themselves. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, open up the light pole and plug into that and hook up, you know, you got one belt drive turntable and one direct drive turntable. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And you kind of got a little bit of a Gemini mix that kind of works. And you got the speakers from the stereogram in the living room. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But it's like we about to have a party,
for sure,
you know, like it makes you happy.
Just been on stage, microphone goes out, the wireless mic, Von still ad-libbing, I'm shouting out the word, pass each other, swiftly pass the microphone, and then pass it back at the end of the verse.
Right,
just gotta go.
And then after the show, people were like, yo, I love that acapella part that y'all put in there, that was crazy. I like that y'all did.
You're like, thank you, we worked hard on that.
Exactly.
Had to do a little something.
Yeah, it is kind of like that that intersection of like the punk rock and the hip hop, like spirit, like coming together there. Like there's something like DIY about what you're talking about, like the early hip hop stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and even if you think about like, you know, how they came down from the South Bronx to downtown scene, how that connected, you know, with all those folks or whatever, like, you know, or Debbie Harry connecting with Bam or Fat Five Freddy or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like that's basically what we did at home, you know. Yep. So we were like, yo, we about to do that shit everywhere, like,
why not?
Exactly.
Because why not?
Dre, I know you mentioned that you're originally from Rochester, but how do you guys feel like the Tampa Bay, Florida area influences the sound and the music that you guys are making?
It definitely does. It's like, it's a huge part. I mean, it's literally one half of the band.
Yeah.
And so, again, like, I had moved down, I would say, probably when I was like maybe like 12. And so even still now to this day, like kind of getting like some backstory and hearing Vaughn talk about like the teen nights that would go on and talking about juke music and like certain dances and stuff that they were doing, certain breaks, and hearing about that culture. So again, I would honestly say, like, granted, being from upstate, most of like the music, it was just, it's in New York, so it's just like everything Jay, Nas, all that, it's just like, that's us. Versus when you get to like this certain sector of like the Gulf Coast and like Central Florida, like in Tampa specifically, it was more so of like, what are y'all doing here? And it's just like this whole
that we have
world,
our own gods basically,
is going on, and like it's just here. And so like stunt cams, put some of that stuff in there all throughout the record. Like, it's huge.
Big time, for
sure. Yeah, like, it's literally half of the band.
Yeah, I think it really, like, it was just that thing that we started. That's how we really figured out the so-called Gulf Coast sound, was like, okay, I'm from here, and I have this experience that, you know, is very hyper-regional, like Dre's saying, like, you know, Dre's like, you know, New York heroes, East Coast heroes, they're like superstars.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like my heroes, I have those too, but we have these super regional ones too.
Right.
But we were able to find where it's like, well, there's some type of parallel.
Yes.
There's some, everywhere has some sort of hyper local thing about it. You know what I'm saying? There has to be something. Like, even if it's like down to, you know, Dre's uncle going to a particular bodega to get mixtapes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, there's a parallel there, because we used to run up to the car wash down the street to get mixtapes.
Yeah.
And it was probably the same mixtapes at the same time.
DJ,
you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, yo, let's connect that, because at the car wash where we would get the mixtapes, we would get the East Coast mixtapes probably late way later, yeah. but the Southern shit too. You know what I'm saying? So it's like we're getting it all. We're getting Jam Pony and DJ Green Lantern. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, yo, how do we put that together? You know? Mm-hmm. And you have two people that have those distinct experiences in a group together, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, that's the East Coast and the South, but then there's got to be a West Coast version of that. There's got to be a Midwest version. There's got to be a UK version, absolutely. You know? And there is. So once we found all of them, it's just like, yo, put that shit together and flip it on his head. Breaking up, breaking half, jerks gonna spin it back. We finna make it into some new shit that you ain't heard of had. Where y'all at with it? Gulf Coast, Cuban toast, guap cheese, palm leaves, Golf tee, golf whip, slide like skis on the back streets. I can't complain about the pain, I treat that shit like luxury. I'm where you supposed to be, 4-4 all black, you roast lizard across the beach. Fuck them diamond pieces, who riding without them leases? I bet that this be the wagon, go send them packing. Who buy that action? Get that payment and spit them dividends. Niggas be talking that, don't be about shit, run it up. Who gon' keep up? Tell the bus speaker, we ain't speakers. I said that niggas click, hop in, who is this? I don't know, you better step, shut it down on my rep. My shit poppin' ain't a threat. Hypnotizing with the specs, X-ray right through your vest. Synthesizer on my chest. Will you science with these tracks? Click, hoppin', who is this? I don't know, you better step. Shut it down on my rep. My shit poppin' ain't a threat. Hypnotizing with the specs, X-ray right through your vest.
How much do you feel like DJ culture has influenced just the way you guys are making music or presenting that live show?
Yeah, that was it. That was the start. It was like when we really, we were experimenting with a lot of different genres, but separately and under different names, secretly. And we got asked to DJ a party. It was like the best house show in town at the time. It was called the Pussy Palace. It was our friend Betty Doll. It was her house. And a bunch of other folks. It was like a house with maybe like a 7 or 8 bedroom historic like house or whatever that a bunch of girls just lived in and made art and music and stuff. She threw the best parties, but one of the parties was her Halloween party. We were just at her house like maybe a week before, just hanging on her porch, rocking. We used to do like jam sessions and stuff. And she was like, yo, do y'all want to DJ my party next week? And we were like, oh, we're not DJs, but we could do it.
And yeah, so, but to say no.
Yeah, exactly. So we figured out some like convoluted ass setup to DJ with Ableton and an SP-404. Because we didn't know how to use DAX and we didn't have DAX.
Would not recommend doing that.
No, would not recommend it at all.
It's tedious.
Sounds rough.
But yeah,
it worked.
But it worked so well, and we were on for like 6 hours. Like, that was our first ever DJ set, and we rocked every genre that we wanted to play and every record. There was no give.
Right.
There was no like, yo, we got to play such and such because that's what they want to hear. It was like very straight selfish, like, nah, everything that we're not hearing at the parties, because we're at all the parties, we go to everything, and y'all are playing the same ass shit every time. So, okay, I know that y'all would like footwork music if you heard it.
Yeah.
So we're playing that. I know you would like jungle. I know you would like this like proto UK drill shit that's happening around that time. This is like 2016. Like, we're to play that shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, all that. We put all that shit along with the contemporary shit that we were into as well. And put it all together. We're like, yo, how do we just do that?
I mean,
how do we do that? And we figured out how to make the live show like that.
Yeah.
And then figured out how to make songs like that. You know, put all our genre experiments together, basically.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure. I mean, yeah, I want to. When I go to a DJ set, I don't want to hear a bunch of shit I already know. Like, I want you to put me on. I want to be hitting my.
Exactly.
I want to be asking Siri what song this is.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like,
exactly.
Damn. It's like again, like, it's cool, and not to knock, you know, those who do that.
For
but
sure.
At the same time, again, it's like, sometimes people only really get to come out probably like two, maybe once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like, damn, I heard top 40 all night.
Yeah.
So
for
sure. And then also too, sometimes, like, they'll be like this kind of like crazy like B-side, and then like you'll look out and you'll see people like, yeah, and it's like, express that you like this stuff too.
Yeah,
that way
exactly.
Everyone could be like, hey, let's kind of try and do this more.
Yeah,
you know,
because I think there's also,
because we want to share,
there's a privilege in that too, I think, where, you know, versus being a DJ as like a job.
Yeah.
Like, if you are a,
that is very
if you
true.
Are a 5 nights a week DJ at a particular club that you have to play at and play certain things, or you might get beat the fuck up or something.
Right,
like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the crowd might do you in for not playing certain shit. It's like, all right, yeah, I get it, man. You had to play Bad and Bougie like 10 times in a row, dog. I get it. Or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, you had to play like the latest shit. You had to drop shit. You know, you couldn't drop the Ice Spice edit. You had to just play Deli straight up. You had to play the straight up version of that, even if you didn't want to, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a privilege in it too, where it's like, it's more of an occasional thing for us. It was like, we could just bring our world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Just even doing a fair share of DJ sets myself now. It's like, sometimes it's like, you just got to stay straight ahead. But when you have those opportunities to go experimental and like those are the fun sets.
You
like,
got in there, you like,
oh, we don't have to play.
You kind of peek up, looking up, like, all right, let me see. Okay, I got two. Okay, let's hurry up and blend this shit the fuck up out of here.
We're gonna get real weird for a second. Let's see how long we can let it fly.
Can I sneak Arthur Russell in here?
Just drop the delay. Just put on a delay. Delay and reverb.
Can you guys talk to me about like what a game changer it was when both of you started making beats, and how that has like maybe changed the creative dynamics between the two of you?
Yeah, from jump, really, like as soon as it really hopped in. But it was like, it was a game changer because it's two brains working.
Figuring out and learning at the same time.
Exactly. And then it really became like this game too of like bouncing as well. Like, I know Dre like constantly was just like, find shit where he's like, all right, we need to sample this. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, even if it's not like a track or whatever that we're bringing each other, it's like, I'll show Dre something like this. We need to do something like this. You know what I'm saying? Dre will bring something like, okay, yo, we need to use this. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that, I think it just opens up another world for us, or maybe it's the same world that we exist in as music listeners, music collectors.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, yo, like, parallel. We're just putting each other on. Like, we're digging because we want to find shit to listen to.
Yeah.
But then that ends up being like, yo, this, we got to, like, we do a record like this. Yeah. We got to use this for something.
Damn,
you know?
How come we didn't know about this? Or how come we haven't been doing this?
Exactly, So it just it opens it up in a crazy way, you know?
You guys talk to me about, on the Little Brother track, you know, you have this message at the top talking about like this pivotal point in your career.
Mm. Oh,
talk to me about like the sentiment behind what you were talking about there.
Yeah, it was we were getting interviewed by paper CL Creative Loafing.
Oh yes.
And it was with Ray Roya.
Yeah.
And big shouts out to them.
Yeah, Chelsea, Creative Loafing Tampa.
Kai Fields.
Mm.
And we were asked the question. It was like, so, you know, with you guys, like coming up out of the like indie space now, you're on the label now. Like, how do you feel? Like, you know, do you feel like you're kind of like moving away from that stuff? And I didn't feel like it was like a punch or like a jab or anything at all. Mm-hmm. It was just like a, well, shit, are we?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
no, we're
yeah.
still here,
right?
But it was just more so of like, oh, like this is like. It's a moment for us for sure, but also for those around us, because everybody who saw us in the backyard is like, Dre and Von just, they're
up.
They're gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it was like, again, and what I had said was, it's like when you start to demand too much, praise, you start to diminish all of your accomplishments.
Yep.
So if we were to do that, or even now, just in general, or we did this, or we put this on, and it's like, you're asking for people to tell you thank you. It's like, no, I'm not going to do that now. And again, it's like where we're coming from. Again, it's like all of that praise and like being around certain circuits and stuff like that. And a lot of the shows is from locals. So we damn near owe part of it to the people in doing what we've been doing.
Yeah.
And so that's what I meant, where it was like, this is like, it's pretty pivotal for like, even from the people who are back at home, but also for us as well too. Cause it's like, okay, if this is the first, somebody's first or last time hearing us, we can't miss our mark.
Right.
We can't.
Like, it's not just our moment.
Yeah.
You know? So
So
we can't just, like, you know, spotlight ourselves on some, like,
exactly.
Yeah, see, now look what we did. Uh-huh.
You know? Like, exactly. You know, like, your verse on X-ray specs.
Yeah, yeah.
Cuban toast, what'd you say? Guava cheese.
Gulf Coast, Cuban toast, guava cheese, palm leaves. Uh-huh. Yeah, for sure. It's like, this is, it's all of us, you know, it's the people that really did see us and prop us up to this point in general, you know? It's like, we can't just go out there screaming on people to give us, you know, what these people already gave us. You know, the people at home already gave it to us. You know what I mean? So we just feel like everything is just a bigger version of that. Yeah. As long as we enter this, all these new spaces in, with the same intent and the same energy, same thing will happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are the people rooting for you before anybody knew who they had changed was.
Exactly. Exactly. So now at this point, it's at another pivotal point where now a ton of people do know who the Hey Change is, but it's still like kind of like a secret club.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we still can't sit here and try to demand too much praise because it's like, no, all these folks are like rocking with us. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like on some like, yo, I really saw y'all like at the small festival stage. Now I can't wait till you're on the huge festival stage or whatever, you know? Like,
well, I'm happy to be a part of the secret club that knows about They Hate Change. Yeah, I'll definitely walk away from this music festival thinking about
your
performance and like, I don't know. Once you get to see someone do the thing live, it makes me listen to the records differently you know.
I dig it.
Because we definitely try to do it. That was another thing too. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when we were like out doing shows, we were like trying out songs.
Right. Exactly.
People were like, hey,
for
is this
years.
Song out? We were like, no.
It's not even recorded. Like, we write songs and then we perform them for years before recording. You know, and we're still doing that.
Good litmus test to see what people are responding to.
Precisely.
You get to see, you know.
And we find new pockets that way too. You know, the way we wrote it might not be the way it ends up.
Yeah.
You know, if we just had to write records and then immediately record them, which we've done as well, is like, there's still records now that where we did that, but we performed them now. I'm like, damn, I would have said it like this now.
Yeah.
You know, because when we're performing, I say it like that. You know. But, you know, it's all good. But yeah, it's definitely a way to work things out.
Where do you guys feel like maybe you see either within one another, like the most growth within like you both collectively or from where you started to where you're feeling like you're at with it now?
I think for me, it's personality. I think that's something that Dre, I forget when it was, but Dre was just like, yeah, I just want to like, he wrote some verse. And I was like, man, this is crazy. And he was like, yeah, I was trying to put like more of like, my humor and more of our like kind of inside joke type of thing in the songs. I was like, oh, that's fucking genius. Obviously, like, yeah, what? Stunk, yeah, man. Why wouldn't? Exactly. Mm-hmm. It was right around the areas, right around Central Lab, where you all the verses on there is like very much like this is how we talk to each other.
Exactly.
Like, these are things that we talk about together. Really, you know what I'm saying? It's not just here's what's inside our heads and how we're feeling, what's on our hearts at the time, which is one level of things, right? It's like, nah, this is really how we like chat to each other. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, that's ill. That's what we need to do. And I feel like we've grown a lot in that sense, where there's just so much personality in the records now. Like if you listen to the newest records that we put out and stuff that we have coming out very soon too, is like, oh yeah, this is how they are.
Yeah,
like
exactly
if you ever met us,
are.
It's like, nah, that is how they are. If you saw an interview with us, you're like, damn, that really is how they are, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's expanded a lot over the last couple of years.
That and also even too, like how we go about like making tracks now production wise as far as like even like how we touched on earlier as far as like structure now.
Yeah,
it's not like, you know, we do get to the point now where it's like, okay, we have to insert this and do this. It's just like,
right. Hey, it's not so intentional, but
right now we feel like we're finished. Okay, cool. But now let's see, how should we now approach this now?
Because
again, we've already gotten here.
Yes.
At this point, but how do we get there?
Right That's, like if we've gotten to this level sort of by accident a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Or not by accident, but more just like throwing caution to the wind. How do we now take it and, all right,
let's build it.
Really pull it in. Let's really,
exactly. That's what it is. And no, I think, and again, with us even just doing that just slight adjustment, that helps even us think differently, but also sonically, like it begins to pop more questions and also more inspiration. Mm-hmm. And then those who are listening to us, it's kind of like, oh wow, like I love what you all are doing now. Again, it's not
like
if you've
been
before
listening
yeah
already,
if you've been listening
yeah.
It's like okay, you could tell, like, you know, we might not have to make too many huge adjustments in order for people to be like, oh wow, like
right this, for it to sound that much better.
So I think that's mostly damn structure.
That's a good point for sure.
I think you can definitely hear the growth, you know, from album to album, and then definitely dipping into like finally new is like when you're talking about the personality really coming out on the records. Like I feel like I can feel it.
You feel
there.
It?
And then getting to see you guys live last night was obviously like the thing that like really affirmed that.
Thank you.
But it's
yeah.
just like, thank oh you. Yeah, these are the dudes on the record. You know?
Yeah. Thank
exactly.
You.
I think we're just that's the ultimate thing, right? That's always the North Star. Is like, how do we get it to the point where you really just get it from that? You
just
know, if you listen to the music and see us live, either or, it's just like, oh yeah, that's exactly who that is.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh yeah. Well, I appreciate y'all taking the time to chat with me.
It ain't nothing.
Of course.
It ain't nothing.
Yeah.
Pumped I got to see you.
Part of the secret society now.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Forever indoctrinated into the society.
Yes,
I'm,
indeed.
I'm into it. I'll put all the links in the episode notes so people can keep up.
Hell
with
yeah.
They hate
look
change.
At.
And we end every episode of the podcast with the guest saying the tagline for the show, which is "It's a program."
It's a program.
Yeah, exactly. It means nothing. It's just the way my grandfather says the news program. He says program for some reason. We were with him the other day. Program. I don't know what he was talking about, the program.
All
so
right.
It's so, the program?
It's a program.
It's a program.
You can deliver it however you like.
Okay.
Word.
There's no rules.
Yeah.
We just say it?
Yeah. You just say it.
Slight intro. All right. This is Vaughn from They Hate Change.
Hey, this is Andre.
And it's a program.
It's a program.
That's They Hate Change, everybody. They nailed it. And I want to play the episode out with one of my favorite tracks from Finally New. It's called 30.
Woo!
Anything you remember about that one coming together for you guys?
That's a juke track.
Yes.
Yeah, if you don't know nothing about Florida juke music, that's that.
That's again what I said earlier. One half of the band.
Gulf Coast sound.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, I'm stoked to have gotten the link up with you guys, and we're going to play it out with 30. And that's the Jelly Jams, and we will catch you on the flip side. Portland, Pickathon, Tampa Bay, Florida, Gulf Coast, wherever you are listening from.
All that. All that.
Cool.
Dang it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
This red shit boring. I've been fading the forefront. Niggas didn't know what's up till late night. Niggas went inside with street lights. My AP sit on Billy. Tightrope moonwalk for the green niggas. Too fake, don't approach me. Put a name in their mouth like Lister. Green, too fake, don't approach me. Came up on a low key. Too fake, don't approach me. Came up on a low key. What? Hey, I've been on my ones and blue faces on my thumbs. Scratch that wire on my buns. Computer world out the country. Slow.
To DistroKid for sponsoring this episode of the podcast and for their longtime support of this thing. Don't forget to find that discount link in the episode notes or in my Instagram bio. 30% off your first year membership with DistroKid, helping you get your music in all the places it needs to be. Stay up, stay tuned.